are now listening.
You are now listening to the Backseat Wrestler Podcast.
Look at Randy Orton slithering.
Watch out.
Hosted by Eric and Elvis.
It's LA Nightstand. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the number one wrestling podcast in the world, the Backseat Wrestler Podcast. Of course, we are back, bed never, ready to bring you more wrestling news with your host, Eric and Elvis. This week, we had AEW Full Gear, banger of a freaking pay-per-view. Definitely met my expectations. I don't know about yours.
Yeah, but it was good. It was great. I mean,
great.
Other than being almost 5 hours long, it was great.
Yeah, but that's the thing with AEW pay-per-views. They always take freaking forever. I think it was just missing, like, maybe just one more, like, one return would have been nice. Usually AEW pay-per-views have a return.
AKA Kenny Omega.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. Or Edge, maybe. Yeah. Or Adam Copeland, whatever they call him now. But yeah, that would have been cool. This week we have, of course, our review of AEW Full Gear. We're not going to be talking about, of course, WWE, unfortunately. Except for, like, the top stories, of course, because it was something major that did happen on SmackDown. Other than that, we're just going to get into Full Gear because Full Gear was freaking great. Before that, though, you wanted to go for top stories?
We saw with Kenny Omega.
Yes, he's Kenny Omega.
He's returning to
So New Japan official, global official Instagram page posted that he will be returning in his return match on January 5th. Super excited for that. Yeah. Kenny Omega reposted it, so did AEW. So it is official. Kenny Omega is back and cleared to freaking wrestle.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, I'm so pumped. I'm super excited for that. I was hoping that he was going to make a return at Full Gear, but I guess not. I'm thinking World's End.
World's End
is probably going to be when he returns.
If not, I'll just do it after his match over there.
Yeah, for sure. His first match is definitely going to be over there.
It's like a warm up match. It's been a while. Then he returns to AEW.
Yeah, I don't know. It should be a good match too. But yeah, I'm super excited for Kenny Omega's return. Obviously, that elite storyline has been missing him a lot. It's kind of been it's been stagnant for the past couple months because he hasn't been involved. And then, of course, the whole Death Eaters, John Moxley thing took over completely. Yeah. So, it's been kind of stagnant. So him coming back in is going to be a huge refresher for AEW and, of course, that Elite storyline. So super excited for him to come back. Dumb freaking happy. That's a great top story. Kenny Omega, welcome back.
Yes.
Freaking super happy about that. Other than that, the other top story we have is, of course, the
ending of SmackDown, basically.
Ending of SmackDown, yeah. So ending of SmackDown, of course, involved OG. Bloodline and OG Bloodline because that's what every single SmackDown ends with. So the return of Paul Heyman happens.
Yeah, Paul Heyman interrupted and Roman's about to talk.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman just says, ladies and gentlemen, the crowd goes crazy. And then he says it's going to be 5-on-5, not 4-on-5.
Yeah.
And introduces CM Punk.
Yeah.
As the fifth member of the OG Bloodline.
Yo, fire.
Which shocked everyone there. They were all
it
like
shocked
confused.
Me.
Even Roman Reigns was confused. And then they all just started brawling in the ring.
Yeah. It was cool, though. So, of course, the story there is great. I mean, Paul Heyman, obviously being the advocate for CM Punk back then.
Yeah.
So that made a lot of sense. Also, I saw the clip of when Paul Heyman was being terrorized by Solo and all of them. And he talked to CM Punk and he said, take me with you.
Yeah.
So maybe he's going to start working with CM Punk now. Maybe. It's a possibility. There's also a lot of rumors and stuff going on.
Hints. He was wearing the outfit he was wearing was literally Solo's outfit.
Yeah.
He had the red shirt under the suit,
the blazer.
The jacket. Yep. Yeah. And he also had the red little apron thing. So and then he also winked at I don't know if it was Sammy or Jimmy.
I think
it was
Sammy.
He winked at one of them. It's just little. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It's just confusing.
Well, no, that's the thing. People are pointing out the smallest things now. So he winked at Sammy. Okay, that's kind of weird. People are pointing out that Sammy threw his phone and back during a segment, and people are maybe he was texting Paul Heyman or something.
Yeah.
Obviously we never
people
got the
could
answer.
Be just looking straight into too much detail.
Or it could mean something.
Yeah, but the one thing is the Paul Heyman's outfit, he never dresses like that. He's always wearing a tie.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't wearing
Not only that though, we also didn't get an explanation as to why his phone number like didn't like you know it well, went straight to voicemail next, with Roman
Reigns. Maybe next SmackDown right before Survivor Series, I guess.
Yeah, that one was pre-taped. Unfortunately, I saw a spoiler, but we won't talk about spoilers here. But I didn't see anything about Bloodline on there. But yeah, of course he calls out CM Punk. CM Punk is now the official member of the War Games match, so it's going to be Bloodline versus CM Punk in OG Bloodline.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
It's gonna be a great freaking match. I'm super excited for that. It's gonna be a banger.
I'm still confused why, because I thought it was gonna be Seth Rollins, especially when he's feuding with Bronson Reed, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah,
he has no match on a Survivor Series.
No, not at all. Well, that's what people are saying. I thought it was gonna be Seth Rollins. We all thought,
especially after Bronson Reed is like
exactly. Oh, it's clear it's gonna be. So I'm kind of happy. I'm happy
it's CM Punk. Yeah. I don't want it to be predictable.
For sure, I'm happy it's not. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Like, I can see Seth getting involved, especially because he doesn't have a match. He still has beef with Bronson Reed. He has beef with CM Punk.
And he also didn't want to join with Roman.
Yeah, and he has beef with Roman. So he has beef with three people in that match. I think he's definitely going to want to get involved.
Yeah.
Start building up that storyline with CM Punk that they need to. So, yeah, that should be cool if he ends up getting involved in that. I still have OG Bloodline winning.
So they're going to build him as a heel, maybe.
Who, Seth?
Seth might turn heel. Because they might keep Punk as a babyface.
Yeah, I don't see him being a heel anytime soon.
Yeah, anytime soon, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
I can see Seth Rollins turning heel now. Like,
I could too. Yeah, there's a lot of good possibilities there. But
also on SmackDown, we had a quick thing during Bianca's match. Jade Cargill, she was like laid out on a car.
She got laid out.
Slashed, like she was.
Yeah, she got beat up, and they don't know who did it.
Yeah,
yeah.
One of it reminds me of like the Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Remember when they found Shawn Michaels beat up?
Yeah, I remember that.
Weeks later, it was Triple H.
It was Triple H, yeah.
I don't know why. A lot of people had rumors saying they think it's Bianca. Even though like, oh, she was during the match, though. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who it's
kind of confusing.
No, it's going to be like Rikichi. I did it for The Rock.
Yeah. Yo, if
they do something. I did it for Ben Lauer. Yo,
if they do that. Or it was Bayley.
Or it was, yeah, possibly.
I don't know.
We'll see. There's a lot of good possibilities.
They're obviously going to have an investigation. We're going to see.
Yeah, that's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks. So super excited for that.
And here comes your cat.
Yeah, this is my other cat. Yeah, they've seen Muffin. They haven't seen this one. This is Nala. Hi, Nala. Go over there. Okay. So anyways, let's get into AEW Full Gear.
Let's go.
Unless you have any other top stories, do you?
Not really, no.
No. All right, cool. So let's get into AEW Full Gear. Full Gear was a banger. Of course, it did start off. Well, it started off with the freaking pre-show with QT Marshall and the Boom guys. The Costco guy.
Talk about the pre-show. I don't have to talk about it.
I mean, like, I was so against it, but the match was actually kind of fun. It was fun. It was entertaining. Give them that.
I didn't even watch
it. No, I thought it was pretty good. It was really entertaining. It was a lot better than I expected it was going to be honest. Even though the Costco guys isn't my thing. Like, whenever that goes, I hate when a video of theirs pops up on my TikTok. I don't know why. But yeah, it was pretty cool though, pretty fun. Moving on from that though, the actual main card.
Yeah.
They started off with the AEW World Tag Team Championship match, Fatal 4-Way, of course, between Private Party, the Acclaimed, House of Black, and the Outrunners. It was a pretty fast.
Yeah,
match,
the match wasn't that long. It wasn't that good.
Yeah,
could have been better.
The main story out of this was the Acclaimed though. The Acclaimed were completely out of sync.
And it was mostly Max Caster.
Yeah, he was even getting booed.
And he was sticking up the middle finger to the fans.
Yeah.
And then you see Anthony Bowens. He was just like, the hell are you doing? Like,
well, there was also a point where like they almost had the match in the bag, but like Max Caster was like trying to tag himself in and trying to get involved.
He tagged himself in, then he's like, oh, let's do this move. He was like trying to run everything.
Yeah, he was, and
I don't know. I can see a future. I can see a heel turn coming.
Heel turn?
You think he turns on Anthony?
That's
Bones.
Crazy though. The Acclaim breaking up.
Yes,
the biggest. Well, no, one of the biggest tag teams. In
but AEW. I can see Max Caster turning on him.
Yeah, I can see it too. I mean, honestly,
and he played a good part. He's good on the mic. He was flipping off the crowd already.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure like people were saying that he's like they started booing him because he said something about like Kamala Harris a couple of weeks ago, which was like, who the hell cares? Like, it's political BS is so annoying. Yeah. But anyways.
But no.
Yeah. The whole, like, the match was fast. Private Party won. I think that was the right decision there.
Yeah, they retained. Yes.
Yeah, they retained. They should keep those titles for a while. Questions here is, of course, Private Party, where the hell do you think they're going to go from here? I think that they're going to have a rematch against
Young Bucks. I just think they keep defending until the Young Bucks come back.
Yeah.
And the Young Bucks get the rematch. Maybe Wells in.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking at World's End, it's going to be Young Bucks versus Private Party again. And then hopefully that's when Kenny Omega returns and costs Young Bucks the match or something like that. That'd be cool. Yeah,
that'd be fire.
Yeah, that'd be fire. Because Kenny Omega needs to return ASAP, especially because his return in New Japan is on January 5th. World's End is typically the last week of December, so it just makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's just like right in the time frame.
Exactly. Yeah, that'd be nice. And then maybe like the Young Bucks could interfere in his match in New Japan. Because like they always interchange with that. That'd be pretty cool for
Big Door to be around the corner. The Outrunners got a lot of cheers during this match. Yeah. The crowd was going for them.
Yeah, the Outrunners have a lot of fans. I'm a big fan of the Outrunners. This are like their whole gimmick is just like it's a mixture of 80s and now. Like the 80s gimmick it's with like an aesthetic of now. It's pretty cool. But yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. Super excited for the Acclaim to break up, possibly. The Acclaim might break up. Yeah, just
the way it was happening. It was weird. Yeah. They're probably going to have something on Dynamite and then...
I think they're going
to Daddy Ass going to have to get involved.
Yeah, I think they're going to brush it out for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's not going to be that quick.
Yeah.
We can't rush anything.
But I'm hoping, that turn is going to be insane. That turn is going to be crazy.
I guess he just wants to be solo. He's like...
Yeah. Well, if they build it correctly, that'd be a freaking banger.
All the moves to go through him.
Yeah, well, Matchcaster also started calling himself, like, he self-claimed himself as the best wrestler alive.
Yeah.
So... Now probably Anthony Bowens is like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
He turns heel on Anthony Bowens. I'm a big fan of Anthony Bowens, too. So I think they'll both have great singles careers, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty cool. But anyways, moving on from that match, that was a banger. Even though it was quick, it was still pretty good. We had MJF versus Roderick Strong.
This was a good match,
too. Great match. I knew this was going to be a good match. People were kind of like blowing this under the bag.
A lot of people underestimated the wrestling ability of both.
No. Yeah. Roderick Strong is... Like one of the he's a freaking great wrestler. He was one of my favorite Ring of Honor wrestlers when he was a Ring of Honor, and then obviously in NXT he was throwing on banger matches as the North American champion. So yeah, this was a banger of a match, exactly what you expected. A bunch of backbreakers, bunch of arm bars, etc. So yeah, MJF defeated Roderick Strong with the what the hell does he call that? Salt of the Earth.
Yeah. And then he also tried to wedge a chair in his arm, smashed his arm, and then asked when Adam Cole came out.
Yeah, Adam Cole came out with the rest of Undisputed.
Yeah.
Not Undisputed. It's Undisputed Kingdom. Yeah, that's what they're called.
Undisputed Kingdom. Kyle O'Reilly was upset at Adam. He pushed him down, I guess, blaming him, I guess, for everything that's going on.
Yeah, that was cool. Because on Dynamite, we had them having it was a promo between Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole where they were basically discussing why they didn't shake hands prior. Kyle O'Reilly basically saying you're a good friend. You got to act like it. You're putting your friends in harm's way for your selfish reasons. You got to stop doing that.
Yeah, and that's basically why he was pissed. He pushed him down. He's like, this is all your fault and everything.
Exactly. So that was cool. I like that storyline bit. That was great. Adam Cole didn't retaliate or anything.
Yeah, he wants sat to be on the friend. Ground confused, thinking about it.
Also, a cool little note. Roderick's trunks, his ring gear for this week. Was half black, which is Undisputed Kingdom, and then it was gold, the regular Undisputed era from NXT. So maybe they're teasing that they're going to get back together. I'm really hoping they do. That'd be freaking great. I can see them building up a few where maybe Adam Cole just faces Kyle O'Reilly. They have their match, and then at the end of the match, they all hug it out. That'd be nice. Yeah. I feel like they just need a match to blow it off, and then just hug it out. They're Undisputed again, and then they beat the crap out of MJF. Because eventually they're going to get back to MJF. I just feel like they should hold off on it.
Yeah. Even though it was literally the other way around. They don't want to attack
MJF.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I honestly think that's truly why they didn't do Adam Cole versus MJF this week, though. Because it was in New York. It was New Jersey, but close. Yeah, it was close to it was close to Long Island where, of course, MJF is from. I guess they didn't want MJF's cheers and he was talking, Adam Cole boos.
Yeah, he was talking mad shit to the New Jersey crowd before the match.
Yeah, he hated them. That was funny. but anyways, I'm excited to see where the heck that's going to go. I think they should focus on Adam Cole and Undisputed era.
Yeah.
Build that up first and then let them go back over to MJF. Let MJF do his own thing where he's just terrorizing the locker room. I think that'd be a great thing if they do it that way. They don't need to rush Adam Cole and MJF.
I don't think they're going to do that, though. Especially how he just smashed Roddy's arm. They made this.
Yeah.
They're obviously still going to have that.
I don't know. I just want to see Undisputed again.
Yeah, but they got to have this first. Maybe the after this.
Probably. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm just excited for that. Other than that, we had the TBS Championship match between Mercedes Moné and Chris Statlander. This was actually a really good match.
Yeah, this was a good match for Mercedes.
Yeah,
this is the last couple of defenses have not been good.
No, I think this was Mercedes Moné's best match in AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this... That definitely was the best match in AEW. Mercedes Monet picked up the win, though. I thought it was a pretty good decision there.
She went pretty clean.
She went clean? Yeah. No, she's one of those heels that actually wins clean, which is good. I like heels that actually win clean because you don't have to be a heel and just cheat every single time to win.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was pretty cool. After that, we had one of the matches tonight. I don't think it was, though.
There was a lot of great matches on this card. Let's just say that.
There was. We had Jay White and Hangman Adam Page. Was that match after the Kyle Fletcher match or was it before?
Before.
Oh, I thought it was after for some reason. But anyways, yeah. Jay White picked up the win in a banger of a freaking match. Yes. Jay White, of course, reversing into the switchblade, pinning him 1-2-3. Oh, my God. The amount of, like, there was a lot of good fucking spots in this match. Yeah. There was a lot of crazy moments in this match. I was super excited for it. But, yeah, Jay White picked up the win. Heyman lost no credibility in this, though. Like, it went back and forth. It was great.
And then, yeah, he got involved in the main event. Like...
Exactly. And he got involved in the main event. We'll talk about that later. After the match, of course, while Jay White was walking up the ramp, and Heyman Adam Page got up and attacked Jay White on the ramp, and then he also pushed down an officiate, and he walked away. So obviously, full blown heel.
He's still pissed. Yeah,
yeah, he's just mad. Hole's mad. Yeah. Forgot about that. I don't know what else I think.
I like his entrance though, with all the fire and stuff, and it shows like in front of the burning house.
It's really cool. But yeah, I thought that was the right decision. I'm happy Jay White finally getting freaking wins.
Yes.
Yeah, like major wins, because usually he doesn't. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought
they're pushing him,
even though it wasn't really.
Tight. Yeah, he's gonna get a major push for sure because he was also involved in the main event, so that was really cool. But yeah, other than that, we can get into my favorite match of the night, which was Kyle Fletcher versus Will Ospreay. All right, so it was a main event for me. This was a freaking banger of a match. Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay was the match of the night. I thought it was a potential match of the year candidate. That's how freaking good this match was for me, personally, because it's literally two of my favorite wrestlers. So, yeah, Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay did not disappoint at all. There was so many freaking banger moments in this freaking match. Kind of like, remember when Kyle Fletcher hit the pile driver off of the apron onto the steel steps? That was insane.
That was wild.
Yeah. He had a brain buster on the top rope. Yeah. Brain buster on the top rope. He was
definitely targeting the area the whole night.
Yeah, he was, because obviously the whole storyline was him like messing up his arm and his shoulder area.
Tiger driver 91.
Exactly. So banger of a freaking match, I think. I thought it was great.
Yeah. But then he beat him clean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a hurt Ospreay. He still beat him clean.
No, he won clean. He beat him clean. Exactly what the hell I wanted.
Ospreay obviously didn't want to quit. He kicked out a whole bunch of times. Oh my God. And he had his moments.
So did Fletcher. Yeah, I thought Fletcher was going to lose. Back and
forth match.
Yo, Fletcher kicked out of like three hidden blades. It was insane.
Yeah.
The hidden blades were perfectly timed too. It was so
and then, like you
great.
Said, that was crazy. That pile driver off to the steel steps from out on the
ring. That was insane. Outside the ring. Yeah. The ending was great. It was like perfect storytelling. Of course, Will Ospreay not willing to give up trying to hit him, and Kyle Fletcher sitting there taking it like, oh, that's all you got? Yeah, do it Callis again, do it
the
again.
The outside was like concerned for a little bit, but he was a commentator also.
Yeah, Don Callis is great, though. I love Don Callis. Don Callis is so funny.
But, yo, that was a great match, and this only up from here for Kyle Fletcher.
No, for real. Yeah, so the match ended with, of course, Kyle Fletcher hitting the brainbuster onto the freaking turnbuckle and then pinning him 1-2-3. That match was freaking crazy. And he was like yelling in his face the whole time, saying like, "This is my time now.
Yeah.
Like it's this is all me." It was so freaking great. He like messed up both of his arms first, so he couldn't hit anymore. You know, it was like something out of anime. To be honest, that's how crazy it was. Like, you know, the way it ended. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was great. So Kyle Fletcher picked up the win. It was, I think, the best decision of the night.
Yes.
Obviously, Will Ospreay is my number one favorite wrestler. Well, he's my favorite wrestler at this point, but. Fletcher is probably, honestly, a cool second.
Ospreay probably takes a couple weeks off, maybe a month or two.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Injury.
So where do you think this thing goes? Do you think they're going to have another match, or do you think they should hold off a while? I think they should hold off.
I think they're going to hold off, but they're obviously going to have another match.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay ain't going to go down like that.
No.
But he's going to take some time off. I say heal.
Yeah.
Like the injury, and then Kyle Fletcher just keeps going up from here. And then Will Ospreay finally makes a return later on.
Yeah.
A couple months. I mean, that don't have to be too long.
No, there's so much stuff that they can do with Kyle Fletcher now. Oh my God, this win was so great for him. So I think that there's so many possibilities. Obviously, I think the Will Ospreay match, they should hold off on that. Probably wait a couple months until they throw that back on there. But yeah, in terms of freaking Kyle Fletcher, there's the Continental Tournament that's coming up. He can be involved in that. He can win that title. That'd
this
be great.
Was a good night for the
Don Callis family. It was, yeah, for sure. But yeah, Kyle Fletcher could go after the Continental title. He can wreak havoc on any.
And plus, yeah, he's probably going to have a couple of feuds, small feuds here and there. Until Will Ospreay.
I mean, if they wanted to face a face, though, because the Continental title, who's the Continental champion at this point?
Is it Okada still? No.
Yeah, Okada's still champion, I'm pretty sure.
Is he still champion?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm so lost with the Continental. I feel like I haven't seen it in a couple
weeks. I haven't seen it in a couple of weeks, so yeah.
Is Okada still there?
Let me see. AEW.
Because it wasn't on here. International champion is Takeshi now. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's still. Okada. Yeah, it's still Okada. So yeah, Okada still has it. So I don't think he's going to face Okada. That wouldn't make any sense because it's heel versus heel. I can see him taking a title from Daniel Garcia,
which we'll get into.
Well, yeah, later on in the night, Jack Perry versus Daniel Garcia. That was a great match.
Also.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit more in depth. But in terms of Kyle Fletcher.
And all I'm saying is going to be all up from here, no matter what he does.
Yeah, no matter what he does, it's all up.
He had a big win against him.
That was a massive win. Anyone clean. I'm so happy they did it clean. I was really scared that they were going to have him use a screwdriver or something like that. But no, clean win. Looked great. Dominant ending. Even though the match was perfect, it was like back and forth. But the ending, he was just like, oh, like this is all mine. I'm still here. That was great. Super excited. I'm so freaking happy for that. The week after week of us saying push Kyle Fletcher and this finally happened.
It was a lot of months.
It was like 8 months of us every single episode push Kyle Fletcher, push Kyle Fletcher.
And now you pushed him and he beat Ospreay clean.
So freaking happy for that. I don't know. I don't know what else to say there. There's just so much that they can do with Kyle Fletcher now. He is a bona fide superstar at this point. You beat one of the top.
Still gotta build them up more. You can't just because I've seen a lot of big wins, and after that they do nothing.
That's AEW true.
Better keep.
Yeah, they gotta keep the momentum going. Keep the foot on the gas. Like I said, I think the best thing for it would either be him winning the Continental title or the TNT title. But it would make more sense for the TNT title because Daniel Garcia just won it.
If not any big feud.
Yeah. Yeah, or a big few, but
kind of has that aura right now.
No, there's so much stuff.
He doesn't even need a title.
Well, they're probably gonna have a feud now with him and Mark Davis. That would make a lot of sense because Mark Davis did come out at the end to look after. Will Ospreay. Obviously, they were part of Aussie Open together, so that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that'll be something real quick. Probably.
I think they should do that. Honestly, that'd be cool. So like put that buffer in there so that way they have that match. It could just be like a little side storyline until. Either Will Ospreay comes back, or again, he can win a freaking title like the TNT title, et cetera. That'd be awesome. But that match was a freaking banger. I'm so happy for Kyle Fletcher. Moving on from that, we already talked about it, so we can talk about it really quick. The TNT championship match, and then we'll get into the Minoshika Kara thing. But yeah, Daniel Garcia versus Jack Perry. This match was surprisingly great match. Yeah, it was a great match. Well, not surprising. I mean, people say Jack Perry has no aura, but that match was good. I'm a fan of Jack Perry.
He didn't want to quit. That was a great.
Yeah, that was great. So Daniel Garcia picked up the win. He made Jack Perry tap out.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Daniel Garcia.
He's like a sharpshooter, yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Garcia got the push that he's been wanting.
And he finally got a title.
Yeah, that was nice. So, yeah, Daniel Garcia is a TNT champion. I don't see him holding a title for that long, though. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Kyle Fletcher would be a great person to take it off of him.
That'd
be a great thing. I feel like he'll probably hold it for like a month or two, if I'm being honest. I don't think he's gonna hold it for that long, but in terms of like potential rivalries he can have, he's a face, so there's like
he's got to be with a heel.
It's got to be with a heel because I don't like the face versus face stuff. I was gonna say Sammy because Sammy hasn't had a TNT title shot in a while, but
I mean, yeah, but sometimes they do just title shots where it's just a match, not really a
yeah, that's feud. True. Sammy will be a good
one. Might have one of those and then have a little quick feud.
Yeah. That was a great match. I'll honestly,
probably just do like a little tournament to number one contenders.
Probably for World's End. I mean, next week is the Continental Classic Tournament. I don't think they should run multiple tournaments. That would make any freaking sense. Moving on from that, we had the segment. It was like the only segment of the night. It was the celebration of Mariah May's championship with Mina Shikakara being there. Obviously, super excited for her friends.
Yeah, there was this dancing and drinking champagne.
It was funny.
But, like, she had her back turned, and Mariah May grabbed, like, a bottle trying to hit her with it.
Yeah, so it was surprising Mariah May was actually the one that was going to turn.
Well, she's betrayed Toni Storm. Now she's
That's true. So it's not really that surprising.
Shikakara, yeah.
Yeah.
Mina saw it coming, ducked under it, and then she speared her off the stage into the table.
Yeah, but before that, can we talk about how the heck she did? She had a perfect kick to the bottle and smashed it.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was crazy.
That was crazy.
It was a crazy spin kick to the bottle, and she kicked it out of Mariah May's hand, and it's like smashed.
And then she was looking down, and then she speared her off the stage.
Yeah, that was crazy. She speared her off the stage. It looked like she like messed up her tooth, or maybe she just had like a fake blood pill.
Yeah.
She like smeared it all over Mariah May's face, and she was just screaming. So
that's the next feud right there.
That's gonna be a great
title.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great feud. Yeah. Mina Shikakaru is a freaking great wrestler. I think it's too soon for Mariah May to lose though, like her title.
I don't know if she's gonna lose.
I don't think so either. I feel like the thing is with this rivalry, it can be a couple matches if I'm being honest. It doesn't need to be one single match. The storyline is there. They were tag team champions in Stardom and all that stuff. So it makes sense if they were to freaking have a couple matches and build that up. I'm expecting like video packages and stuff to like build this up for the next couple of weeks. But yeah, I'm really happy about that. But Mariah May's been a great champion, I think.
Yeah.
I think she's been a fantastic champion. It kind of makes sense, I guess, that she didn't have a title shot on this pay-per-view because she's beaten everybody, basically. There's not really like a contender that has come up to the plate to face
her. And it's fine because they used it to do a start a feud. So
yeah, and they used the time to
yeah, they broke up and now they
exactly. So it makes sense. I think I like that part that they still had her on the show and she still had a major thing happen on the show regarding the AEW title. So well, women's title. So that was cool. Moving on from that, we had the AEW International Championship match between Takeshita and Ricochet. This was another great match. Yeah, this was a banger of a match. Perfect person won. Takeshita won.
Takeshita.
I thought that was obviously going to happen. I didn't think Ricochet was going to win at all.
It was clean, I think, too.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like how they're having these heels. They don't always have to win by cheating.
Well, I think AEW is really good at that, especially with like pay-per-views. They rarely have interference wins.
Yeah.
When it comes, even if it's a heel or a face. So that's what I really love about AEW, that they show that their heels are actually like really strong opponents.
Yeah, because just because you're a heel doesn't mean you can't wrestle. You need help every time. Some heels got to be strong. Got to be exactly. Thanos.
Exactly. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
Takeshita, yeah, I thought it was good for Takeshita to retain. Ricochet didn't need the title.
No, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it.
This is good for the Don Callis family.
No, Don Callis family is up right now. They're gonna be looking really good.
They're obviously gonna have a segment watch, like a celebration of both of them.
For sure, yeah. But of course, after that, we had another great match.
Yeah,
Bobby Lashley versus Swerve Strickland. This match was a freaking banger.
Match. Yeah, a lot of stuff happened.
Swerve Strickland hit a stomp onto the announce table.
Announce table, yeah.
That was crazy. Onto Bobby Lashley, onto the announce table. That was insane.
He had like a crazy DDT onto the apron. Bobby Lashley hit his head on the bottom of the floor.
That was crazy. Yeah. So it looked like Bobby Lashley was going to lose. He even hit a stomp on the inside the thing, and he kicked out at two pretty quickly too, and strong. But of course, Bobby Lashley picked up the win. He put the hurt lock.
I think it's the hurt lock. I'm just gonna lie. He put him in the hurt lock and swerved in a tap. He just passed out.
Yeah,
which made him like a badass still. Because even posting on IG, still the baddest man in AEW.
Yeah, that was nice.
But yeah, he didn't tap out. And then after that, Prince Nana went in the ring and he got put in a
hurt lock too. Yeah, I don't know what the hell he was. So it made
Bobby Lashley look strong, but it also does nothing to Swerve at all.
Nah, but Swerve needs a win though. He's lost like 5 straight matches. I feel like. Other than like the basic matches on AEW, I'm talking about like 5, like no, it's like what four, three or four major pay per view matches back to back. So I think he needs a win. He needs a win. The next one,
but Bobby Lashley needed this win. I think
no, Bobby Lashley needed this win, so it makes sense in that storyline. But the next one, World's End, I think Swerve should win 100%. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Great match. Bobby Lashley looking strong. Hurt Syndicate looking strong. Yeah. I think Ricochet should join Hurt Syndicate, to be honest.
Especially after the loss, maybe.
Yeah, they've been teasing it for a while. It would make sense for him to join.
Yeah, after the loss, he joins. That'll be fire.
Exactly. And then MVP as his mouthpiece, because Ricochet can't cut a promo. Yeah. Ricochet, you're great. But, like, yeah, you can't cut a promo. I'm sorry. Anyways, moving on from that, we had the main event. Jon Moxley versus Orange Cassidy. Yeah,
world title. AEW World Championship.
AEW World Championship. Obviously, it's just AEW versus anti-AEW was basically the storyline behind this. Of course, Jon Moxley defeated Orange Cassidy with the help of the Death Riders. It was a pretty good match.
It was a good match.
It wasn't my favorite match.
It wasn't the best match of the night. It probably wasn't even top three.
It was a lot of good matches. But it was still pretty good. the main storyline with this, though, is, of course, after the match. After the match, Death Riders tried to basically poison Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, with some cleanest solution. They try to poison him.
Yeah, I was not expecting that at all. Like, but the Hangman
comes out for the save.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, because obviously he's a heel.
Yeah.
But he's also, I guess, defending AEW still.
Yeah, so we know he has issues with Jon Moxley. Obviously, yeah. They've had that rivalry. So it makes kind of sense that he's doing that. Also, he's not anti-AEW. He just hates, like, Jay White and a bunch of people.
No,
so,
I'm saying he's like, this guy's anti-AEW. He's not. I'm
saying, yeah, that's
he's just defending AEW even though he's a heel.
Exactly. He did kind of help Orange Cassidy.
And then Christian Cage, he tries to cash in that opportunity.
I always forget Christian Cage has that freaking title opportunity because he hasn't shown it. But he's been on TV, but they haven't really shown like him trying to cash it in.
Yeah, but he tried
recently. He tried.
Jay White came out and hit a hidden blade on him.
Yeah, again, Jay White being involved in major storylines.
Yeah,
I thought it was great that he hit it, and he was like, he's like, you thought I forgot about you because they still have that storyline going. I loved it. Multiple storylines going on.
They left the arena as they were leaving. Darby Allin, he smashes like his car into their pickup truck.
Yeah,
so they had to go like steal a car.
Yeah, they stole another car and they drove off. And then it was revealed it was Darby Allin.
Darby Allin just went on the car and smashed the car with the skateboard.
Yeah, and that was the end of Full Gear. Storylines that can possibly.
So Darby Allin's obviously probably next probably.
Yeah, people are saying that Darby might be the one to dethrone Jon Moxley. I don't think he should.
He probably will though. Just looking at the storyline, I think he could.
I don't think he should.
Probably shouldn't, but I think it's going
to happen. Like I said prior, I think it should be Kenny Omega. Because Kenny Omega is the embodiment of AEW.
Yeah, that'd be fire.
Like, he comes
Darby Allin's been there since the start also.
Yeah, true. But, like, if you want, like, Darby a major guy.
Put his body on the line every freaking match.
That's true.
So he embodies AEW like crazy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Darby, but I don't think he should be the guy to beat Jon Moxley. I truly believe it should be Kenny Omega. That'd be a banger.
Yeah. But if he does, Sting's going to return. No, like,
oh, my God.
No, but I don't know.
I
if he does, I wouldn't be mad. Good. It's just as long as Kenny's involved somehow.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I don't see Darby as AEW champion. Like, I think he's great.
He can be champion. He don't have to have a long run either.
He can be champion. Don't know. I feel like the views wouldn't be as good if it was Kenny Omega. Like, if it was Kenny Omega, it'd be better.
Yeah, it's just Kenny Omega's already been champ, but it's been a while.
It's been a while. He deserves it, honestly. He deserves it. He's put on freaking...
There's been a lot of guys that hasn't had a title in a while.
Yeah, there's Kenny, a lot. Sammy hasn't won a TNT in a while.
Jay White.
Jay White never won a title, though.
Yeah, he just had it.
But he had the Trios titles, but that's it.
Remember, he had the world title, but it was MJF.
He just stole it. That was a great. Good feud, though. It was funny. Great feud.
Who else hasn't had a title in a while? I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously Adam Cole, but it's because he's been hurt.
He's been injured, yeah. He's finally stable. Just keep him stable, and then eventually he'll go after something.
There's a lot of guys that could be in line for a world title.
Yeah, so in terms of Moxley.
Or even any title.
Yeah, like you said, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Darby. But didn't he face Darby already?
That's what I'm saying. Then he beat him.
He beat Darby, but it wasn't for the title. It was for the number one contender for the title.
Yeah.
So he hasn't technically faced him for the championship.
Now Darby's still defending AEW. He did that at the end, so I feel like... Well, he probably doesn't even have to beat him. That could just be in the next few.
Yeah,
until Kenny comes back after, maybe. So that maybe leads to the next few with Darby. Then Jon Moxley wins, and then maybe Kenny Omega.
So maybe that's what happens then. Maybe
that's what happens at World's End.
Yeah, maybe at World's End, it's going to be Jon Moxley and Darby. Jon Moxley picks up the win. Everybody thinks, it's over for AEW.
Death Riders are smashing them, and then, Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega returns. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be a huge ovation.
Yeah, great. That'd be awesome, honestly.
I wonder where Worlds is this year. I don't even know.
I don't remember. I really wish...
Well, last year they were in Long Island, right? They were in MJF.
Yeah, they were in MJF thing. And isn't that where Samoa Joe... Where the hell is Samoa Joe?
Andrew probably. Where's Eddie Kingston?
Eddie Kingston's injured.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he broke his
leg. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
It's really bad. He ain't going to come back for a while. Yeah, so Eddie Kingston. I can't
World's
wait
End is the December 28th.
December 28th.
Orlando, Florida.
Florida. Ooh, that should be a good one. Yeah. Survivor Series is it's in Canada. I'm going to be in Canada next week, so we're going to film virtual for that thing. But I'm going to be on the opposite side. It's in Vancouver. I'm going to be in Toronto. So, I really went. Yo, if it was in Toronto, I would have went. 100%, because I went to a
pay-per-view. Oh, it's in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's in Vancouver. It's on the opposite side. I can't go.
Yeah, that's far.
Yeah, hell no. But if it was in Toronto, I definitely would have freaking went. That would have been fun.
So next week we're gonna be on video.
Yeah, yeah. Next week we'll have a review of Survivor Series War Games, and that will be virtual, but should still be a banger. But yeah, that was basically it for Full Gear. I'm happy with it, honestly.
Yeah, Full Gear was great.
Yeah, some people were saying they were disappointed with it. It was just like, why? Like, you can't have
The only thing I was disappointed in is I was freaking tired.
Yeah, I was tired too.
I was hoping for like a return or two, but other than that, the matches itself were good.
Yeah, it was good. I don't know, but I was happy.
Best
with
matches,
it.
Like obviously like the Will Ospreay one with Kyle Fletcher, and then I think the TNT Championship, and then I think the Swerve one, maybe.
Yeah,
but it's all I don't know. Even the international title match was great.
That was great. Yeah, I don't know. It was great though. I thought it was Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, and then it was Hangman and Jay White.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then it was Bobby Lashley and
it might be Hangman and Jay White, and I think the TNT. I think Bobby Lashley served was 4. That TNT match was great.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Backseat Wrestler Podcast with Eric and Elvis. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so that you never miss an episode.